so glad that I'm one of the few remaining people left who was right here at the beginning and the start of this college. And so here I am again. When you're young, you're known as Bishop Frank Retief. When you're old, you're known as Bishop Mickey Mouse. You don't matter at all. Thank you. I'd like you to keep your Bibles open at that passage that was just read to you now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, which begins with the words, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge." Will you keep your Bibles open at that place? And now let me just pray just one little prayer for us today. Heavenly Father, I come to pray that you will be present with us, that your Holy Spirit will be here, that you will give us ears to hear, that you will give us eyes to see, and that in your gracious kindness to us, you will touch our hearts with the truth, the imperatives, and the urgency of your word for our lives today. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, I'm assuming that all of you are here at college today. Some are first, some are second, some are third years, because all of you are hoping that in some way you will one day be serving the Lord in the work of the kingdom, and you will be helping to propagate the word of God. Some of you may be hoping to be preachers and pastors, and some of you may be hoping to be children's workers, or you may be church workers of some sort, a ladies worker, or working as an assistant in some church or missionary organization. You may have some plan in mind for the future, but it's all got to do with serving the Lord in one way. So that is why you are here today. I'm making that as an assumption, that all of you are hoping to do that today. And if that is the desire of your heart, and that's what you want to do, you want to serve the Lord and you want to teach his word, you want to preach his word, you want people to hear and come to Christ, whether they are adults or children or teenagers or wherever they may be, then what I have to say to you today applies to you. And it comes from this passage of scripture which the Apostle Paul has written to his disciple and to his curate, if you like, or to his assistant or his intern, if you want to put it that way, and that was young Timothy, who was looking after a church in Ephesus at the time. And Paul writes to Timothy these great words, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." There are just a few very pertinent points that I want to make today, which I hope you will remember. I know that some of you are first years and that you are new to the college, and I know that many of you are hoping to be involved in the work of the ministry, but you haven't had much experience yet in the work of the ministry. So let me remind you of some very important things that you need to bear in mind. I hope that it'll get into your heart and it'll stay there in some way throughout your years of study, so that when you leave here, it will still burn in some way in your minds and your hearts. And the first thing I want to say is this, that if you're going to be a preacher of God's word in whatever capacity, a preacher to adults or to teenagers or to children or to women or to men or to whatever, or prisoners one day in jails or wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing for God, if you're going to be handling God's word, you've got to remember this, that you as the preacher, you as the teacher, you as the one handling the word of God, you, when you stand up to give God's word, you represent God. That's who you represent. Now, I make that point today because there are many people who preach as if they represent no one but themselves. And they do not give sermons, or they don't preach, they don't proclaim. They rather put on a performance for the sake of the audience. But I want to remind you today, whether you, whatever you intend to do, and whether you're younger or older, that whenever you take up God's word and stand before an audience, you stand up to represent Almighty God. You stand before God in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge. You stand in the presence of God when you stand up with his word in your hand. And I do too. And as surely as you will give an account for every talk you give with God's word in your hand, I will give an account as well, even for this talk that I give today, this message I present to you today. We stand before God, and we stand before God because we belong to God. We speak to God, and God speaks to us through his word, and he has opened our eyes and our ears to understand what the gospel message is, what the good news is. You must remember that the world is a world full of bad news. It's a bad news world. There is very little good news out there. There are some good things that people do. Of course they are. But the good news, the gospel, that's what the word means, has got no meaning at all to our society unless they understand the bad news. And so we stand up to represent God in all of his greatness and in all of his fullness. So we stand in the presence of God, and we meet in the presence of God today, which means that we've got to be careful how we handle God's word, and we've got to be careful how we listen to God's word and how we respond to it. We stand before God. But the great question is, what God? Because if you listen to many preachers today, especially those who sometimes appear on our TV screens, the God that they represent or the God that they worship or the messages that they proclaim certainly don't come from the God of the Bible. They've got very little to do with the God of the Bible. So who is it that we represent when we stand up to speak to our audiences, whether those audiences are young audiences or older audiences? It is the one God who judges the living and the dead. He is the judge, and he judges every single person who has ever lived in the history of the world, as well as all of those who may be alive when the judgment day dawns. So those who are alive and those who are dead will all appear before God for judgment. And that is the God that we represent. He is the Lord. He is the creator of the universe. And he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who will one day appear with greatness in his kingdom. Because Paul says that in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. In view of his appearing and in view of his kingdom, you must remember when you preach that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return and the kingdom of God will be set up. There will be a day of judgment, and all of our words spoken in his name will then be called out, and so we will give an account for them. It's an awesome thing to stand before a living God. Many years ago, I had the opportunity of speaking at a great youth convention. And during the course of the convention, I began talking to a young university student who was grappling intellectually with the claims of the gospel. And there was a point during the days of the convention when he said that he had become a Christian. And as I began talking with him, all of the things that he had to give up began to come into his mind. His girlfriend and the things that they were doing, his friends and the things that they were doing, and the various activities and the things that he was involved in, all began to flood into his mind. And he said to me one day, I've decided that I don't want this. I don't believe in this. I don't believe that God exists. It was an evening meeting. And I remember that you stand before the presence of God when you say these things. So I took him by the shoulder and I steered him outside the great meeting place where we were meeting. And I said to him, look up at the stars and look up at the skies and the greatness of the heavens. I said, what you have said to me inside there, you're not saying to me. You're saying it in the presence of the great creator of the universe. Now tell him what you've told me. Tell him you don't want him. Tell him you reject him. Tell him you prefer the things you've got to what he can give you. Tell him that, because it's in his presence that you utter these words. And with great shame and with many tears, he dropped his head. And we went back inside and he fell to his knees to rededicate his life to Christ and to overcome his problems. It's in the presence of God that we meet, and we need to remember that as we think about ministry for the future. It's the presence of the fact that one day he will come and there will be a great judgment day. And dear friends, we must remember that we must never avoid the problem of judgment, the question of judgment, the proclamation of judgment, because that is the great issue that troubles many people today, that we believe in a God who will judge everybody and that he will make a distinction, that God, in a sense, is discriminatory on the day of judgment between those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who did not put their trust in Christ, those who rejected him. And I'm dealing with a lady at this very moment who's struggling with this whole concept. And so she has adopted an alternative philosophy because she can't climb over the obstacle of the notion of a God who judges. And yet, my friends, that is the great heart of the gospel message, that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross so that he could take judgment upon himself in our place. And so our judgment, your judgment, if you're a Christian, has been taken in advance by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we say to people who are Christians, you do not need to fear the judgment day. It's not that you won't be judged. Everybody will be judged with their sins. There's only one thing that God can do with sin, and that is judge it. He can't just forgive it. It's got to be judged. And our sins have been judged as well. But they've been judged in advance upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who stood in as our substitute on the cross and took it upon his own body, and there he died in our place. And when we say that we are saved, that is a word that has been trivialized today, but when we say that we are saved, we don't mean that we become all sort of whoopy-doopy happy clappers. It don't mean that we suddenly become happy. When we say that we are saved, what we mean is that we have been salvaged, we have been saved, we have been redeemed from that great day of judgment to come. We will still encounter all sorts of problems now, but we have been saved on that great day. So we need to be careful how we use that word saved, always to tie it in with the fact that God is a great and a holy God who created this world and has got great blessings to pour out upon humankind, but they're all tied up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the preacher represents this God, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. The second thing I'd like to point out to you today is that if you are going to be a preacher or a teacher of any sort, an instructor of any sort, of any other person or any other group, then you've got to remember that you've only got one thing that you can instruct them in, one thing that you can talk about, one thing that you can teach or preach, and that is the Word. That is what it says here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the Word. Now, what is this Word that Paul was talking to Timothy about? Because Timothy had no New Testament. If I asked any of you to preach the Word today, most likely you'll turn to a passage from the New Testament. But Timothy had no New Testament. Paul had no New Testament. And so the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy about all that the Old Testament taught about the Lord Jesus Christ and all that had latterly been revealed by the Lord Jesus coming into the world and dying and rising again and the witness of the apostles. He was talking about the glory of the message of the gospel, that the Messiah had come and died on the cross and risen again, and that people were being transformed through trusting in his name. That was the word that Timothy had to preach. That is the word of the gospel. Now, it's God's word. It's not man's word. So we therefore have no right ever to impose our own ideas upon the word of the gospel. Nor do we have any right to offer people a wisdom that is outside of the covers of the Bible. There are many people who do that today. You can see it if you turn onto any TV channel or listen to many of these preachers who pass across your path and whose services you attend sometimes. They will talk about all kinds of things and give you all kinds of good advice. And sometimes the advice is quite good and clever advice. It's not unhelpful advice, but it's not the word. And what we need to proclaim always is the word, the message that God has invested in the person and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, all that he accomplished for us on the cross. And that word has got to be proclaimed. He says, preach the word. He doesn't say, have a conversation about the word. He doesn't say, suggest the word. He says, preach the word. The word is proclaim. It's stronger than just talking about the word. There are many people who don't preach but talk, give good talks. But what the Apostle Paul is talking about is those of us who will one day be called upon to stand before any kind of congregation to speak with authority and conviction that this is truly the truth. It is the word of God and the great central truth of the entire universe, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our salvation and rose again from the dead, and all that that means in terms of our lives and living righteously and applying it to our lives. But we've got to preach the word. We can't preach anything other than the word. And the word preach always carries the implication that you're standing before a public gathering of some sort, and you're declaring a matter of very great importance, so there can be no compromise at all. God's word is the word that saves, and man's message is the word that deludes. So there are many people who are deluded today. You can see them and meet them. You can see the books they're reading, and you can see what they believe. It's all delusion. But God's word is the word that brings light. God's word is the word that brings direction and purpose into our lives. God's word is the word that brings forgiveness and rest to our souls. How do our souls find rest? Our souls find rest not through good advice. Our souls find rest not through good counseling, although I don't despise any of those things. Our souls find rest. The Lord Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Our souls find rest because they are forgiven. And the great burden of feeling guilty has been taken away. And we are free in the presence of Almighty God to be agents for Him, living in this world and proclaiming what He has taught us. And then I'd like to point out to you that the Apostle Paul also urges Timothy to preach with zeal. And he does that in this way. In verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, and correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, that's a very important idea for us to have about being in season and out of season with the word of God. And we need to know the difference. You know, if we are farmers, we'll know that there are times in the year when you plant certain seed, and you normally sow seed in the season. And then there are times in the year when you harvest the seed, because there are times and seasons that control those things. But when we talk about the Word of God, which likens itself to a seed in the pages of the New Testament, then you must remember we're talking about something that is not a seed that grows in the ground, although that is sometimes used as an analogy. It's a different kind of seed. It's a heavenly seed. It has no season like our normal physical agricultural seeds have at all. It's a different seed. It's God's word, and it works differently, and it bears a different kind of fruit. And therefore, because it is God's word, we can speak a word for Him, whether it is convenient or not convenient, whether it is a church time or not a church time, whether it is over a cup of coffee or over watching a soccer match or some other sports event. We can speak a word at any time, in season and out of season. We don't wait till it's convenient for us. We take the opportunities that are given to us so that we may speak and witness to Him. I'll tell you a little funny story. It's funny for me anyway, because I'm an old man, so most things are funny for me anyway. But a little while ago, I had to go for a little injection. And the elderly nurse who was giving me the injection had to give it to me at the top end of my backside. So she had to pull my pants down a little bit. And while she was injecting me, she raised something which made me speak about the gospel. And she responded to it. And she actually came to have tea with us afterwards to talk about it. I thought to myself, how strange one day to stand before the Lord and say, I was an old man having an injection in my backside and I witnessed to the gospel, and somebody came to have tea with us afterwards to talk about it. But it's in season and out of season. It doesn't matter what what the occasion is. You speak the gospel however you can and whenever you can. You remember the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6, where it says, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand. Normally a farmer would go out and spend the whole morning sowing his seed, and at evening he'd be exhausted and he'd go and have supper and go to bed. But no, says the writer of Ecclesiastes, in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And so you never know, dear friends, that little word that you dropped, that little seed that you planted, that little encouragement that you've given, that little push toward the gospel that you've given to a friend may just be the seed that will take root. Some sow and some water and some reap. And who knows what you are doing at any given... None of us know what we're doing at any given time. It is only God who gives the increase. If people get converted, it's God who gets the glory. But we never know what role we may be playing. And so in season, out of season, we speak the word of the gospel. But I'll tell you this today. You will not do that. And I will not do that if we are not filled with the zeal that comes from knowing and believing absolutely implicitly in our hearts in the centrality of the atonement that the Lord Jesus made for us on the cross. There he took our punishment. There God placed him in our place. And there the Lord Jesus Christ became our replacement, our substitute on the cross. If you believe that, and if you believe that the cross makes the difference between a person going to heaven or hell, then you'll be filled with the zeal to speak a word for him in season and out of season. It doesn't matter who you are, who the person is, if the opportunity presents itself, speak up for the Lord Jesus. And remember, you speak in the presence of God, and God will honor his word. And then I'd like to remind you that the Apostle Paul also reminds Timothy never to forget the human condition of the people that he will be dealing with. And I want you to remember that so that you don't ever get discouraged, because in verses 3 and 4, the apostle says this, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And so Paul says to Timothy, although you must preach before God, although you must preach with zeal, remember the people you are dealing with. They are people who rather believe myths than believe the word of God. Don't be discouraged by that. Still speak your word in season and out of season. Don't get angry. Don't get impatient with them. But rather remember that you yourself were once lost and blind and deaf to God. But God somehow opened your eyes and your ears to the gospel and put faith into your heart, and you were brought to him. And therefore, Timothy, remember these are the people that you will be dealing with in the future in your ministry, and these are the people you will be dealing with in the future and in the ministry. And then Paul says finally to Timothy, whatever you do, always remain faithful. He says, I'm already been poured out. I'm ready to die because I fought the good fight and I finished the race and I've kept the faith. And there's in store for me crown of righteousness, he says. And you do your best to come to me quickly. And he says, and you come and do the work of the gospel and do the work of an evangelist. And never give up. I'm paraphrasing these last verses in the interest of time. But I want to remind you of what the apostle says to Timothy by way of an encouragement to you. You, dear friends, are called to be God's spokesman in our new world today. I'm not. You know, we can only serve the Lord in our own generation. My generation has come and gone, and I can't do what you can do. I can't understand what you will understand one day. I can't cope with what you will cope with one day, and I can't deal with the people that you will have to deal with one day. But you are called upon to remember that you will always stand before the presence of God whenever you speak his word. And whenever you speak his word, it's got to be his word. That's the charge that has been given to you. That's the commandment that's been given to you, to speak the gospel. And to remember that you are called upon to do so with great zeal. And to remember that the people that you speak to may be people We will rather believe myths than believe the truth that you are teaching. But you be faithful to the end, and you will reap the crown of righteousness at the end of your days. Just like the apostle did, like all of us do, who remain faithful to the Lord to the end of our days. And may God bless you as you continue your studies and as you get into this year. And may He prosper you, especially those third years who are coming to the end of your time here. May the Lord not only bless you in your studies, bless you in your heart, but also open doors for you at the end of the year when you can preach His word to others. Now, just a short word of prayer, then I'll hand back to Mark. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We know that it's the power of God to salvation. We hear these things. It becomes part of our vocabulary. We talk about it very often. We quote it very often. But oh God, it's to believe it with all our hearts, so that when we quote it, we feel it. We feel it in our hearts. We pray that we may feel the truth and the weight of the truth of the gospel in our hearts as we become and prepare ourselves for gospel work. And with that in mind, will you send us away with your blessing today? In Jesus' name, amen.